So I appreciate the opportunity. We're all joined together. Once the kids left, it seems like it empties the place here. But I appreciate the opportunity to speak, share something every 6 months or so. It's good. If you remember months ago, whenever it was, I was working my way slowly through the book of Acts, and I'd like to, I'm in Acts 15, and I'd like to read a short passage from Acts 15. It's Acts 15, 35. We start there. But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching, with many others also, the word of the Lord. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with them. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And four verses from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to look into your word. And may this be, Lord, a spiritual time for every one of us in this room. It's not just intellectual. It's not just educational. It's just not a study of words and phrases, but it would be your Holy Spirit speaking to each one of us, Lord, something that you have for us. And it may be something I say or not say. The Holy Spirit speaks through all of us, Lord, and into each one of us, Lord. So bless us, everyone in this room this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And before I get to Acts, though, I want to go back to the Old Testament for something else that kind of like sets a foundation to work in here. I have no idea how I don't pick certain parts of the Bible to read. I don't know how I got to Daniel recently. I don't know. I don't remember. But I found myself reading something in Daniel, and it had to do with Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. In Daniel 3:29, Daniel was right after the fiery furnace, the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar is deeply impressed by seeing four people. He threw three people into the fire, but there's four. Isn't that marvelous? Everybody, you all know the story. There's four people in the burning furnace. This impresses Nebuchadnezzar. And he writes this in 329, Daniel 329, therefore I make a decree. And that's an important word, decree. The king makes a decree. So keep that word in the back of your head. Nebuchadnezzar said, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn from limb to limb, and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other small g God who is able to deliver in this way. Boy, he was really impressed. Up to a point, right? Now we move into the next chapter. Right after that, in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is established. He's the king, and he has a dream. And in Daniel 4:5, he says, I saw a dream, and it made me fearful. These fantasies, as I lay on my bed, and visions in my mind kept alarming me. And so he calls for his specialists to see what the dream meant. He had to go to Daniel. Daniel then begins to interpret, but he just, Nebuchadnezzar in verse 11, 4:11 says, the tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached to the sky, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. And he said in 14 and 15, verses 14, he shouted out and spoke as follows. He heard a voice from heaven. Chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its foliage and scatter its fruit, and let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from the branches, yet leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but the band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field, and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts in the grass of the earth. And he had no idea what this voice from heaven commanded him to chop the tree down, what it meant to him. He was mystified, kind of scared, understandable. And then Daniel comes in, and in 4:24, Daniel says, this is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord, the king. Nebuchadnezzar can decree, but there is a decree that is higher, isn't there? There is a decree from the heavenlies. So Daniel says the decree from heaven basically overrides the king's decree. And this verse, Daniel 4:26, and in that it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree, your kingdom, O king, will be assured to you after you recognize that you... It's not italicized in there, but the words it is italicized. But you recognize the importance. This is the point. Heaven rules. Heaven rules. I want you to remember that. I need to remember that. I have no idea how I came on this verse, and or when it was, a couple of weeks ago, whenever. But I need to remember, you need to remember, heaven rules. There is no greater authority than heaven. The Lord Jesus on the throne, and heaven rules in everything you hear in society, in culture, in politics, the economy. You read anything in the news, and these things are going crazy, but heaven rules. You'd think heaven is not ruling. It is ruling. Heaven is ruling. In spite of everything that you hear that's going crazy, well, the Democrats rule. The Democrats do not rule. They're not in charge. They may hold the top in the House and the Senate and the White House, but they're not ruling. Heaven rules. And I have to remember that. There are times of the week, sometimes you wonder, who's ruling here? Who's in charge here? Heaven rules. That's an important lesson. And then Daniel gives this incredible message to an interpretation of his dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And in verse 29 and 31, so 12 months later, a whole year later, he's walking on the roof of his palace in Babylon. And the king reflected and said, "Is this not Babylon the great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" You can imagine him walking and seeing all of Babylon. It's all clean, it's all nice, it's all scraped down. There are no tent cities, there's no homeless people wandering the streets. It's all in order, and it's all by his hand, he thinks. And he believes that, and he says that, by my power and for the glory of my majesty. In verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, a year after this, a voice came from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared sovereignty has been removed from you." Whoa. So, 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." And so that is Nebuchadnezzar needed to come to repentance. And it took a year of patiently waiting, and he forgot. And then, according to the story, he suffers 7 years in the field as insane. But he does come to see. I don't think I wrote that down in there, but he did come to declare. He saw. In Daniel, back in Daniel chapter 2, verse 37, "You, King, are the King of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory." So the poor king could not get over that. He did eventually see. He did eventually gain an understanding. So heaven rules. If you remember anything about any of this, it's heaven rules. Now, we return you to your regularly scheduled passage. We go back to the book of Acts. What has this have to do with the book of Acts and this little known 6 verses that about a disagreement between 2 spirit-filled believers. The book of Acts, according to Kathy Greenlee, the book of Acts is the book of orchestration of the Holy Spirit, conducting the whole thing. According to Sparks, the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit, Acts was founded on this very matter of the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, and I forgot to mention this, on this thing about Daniel 24:26, that your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. I don't read, I've got a lot of devotions in Ether, devotional devotion, daily devotions, and I don't really read daily devotions. There's some really wonderful thoughts in there, and they're tremendous. But it's not what I do. But I do get a daily devotion emailed from New Zealand, a group of people who package T. Austin Sparks stuff, and it's a daily devotion, and I get one. And I sometimes open it. And I opened this morning's daily devotion from T. Austin Sparks. And the scripture at the top of the page was Daniel 4:26, heaven rules. That is really weird. That was strange. And I had already packaged everything, it's all done. I read the devotions, but and it was part of a book of like 5 or 6 chapters, and I did download the book for later reach about heaven rules. So did get a little weird. But that's the way, that, you know what? That's the way the Holy Spirit does things. Come on. Yeah, you see it. You'll see it. Yeah. Jay has it. He's been reading that too. So heaven rules. So there are three major chapters up to this point in the book of Acts. There is in about the work of the Holy Spirit. First is chapter 1, the ascension of Christ. He will not come until I leave. So the ascension takes place in chapter 1, and chapter 2 is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, when the church is born, and the Spirit fills the church and all of the people. And then in chapter 15, there's a lot of good things happen between 2 and 15, don't get me wrong, but it's sort of a major work of the Holy Spirit is the completion of the body of Christ in chapter 15, which is cemented by Galatians in chapter 3, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you all are all one in Christ. That's the birth of the church. That's the coming together of the completion of what the church is in Christ. There's no Jew or Gentile or Greek or anybody. We are all one in Christ. And it's sort of the acknowledgement, chapter 15 of that. And then so we come to the end of the remaining book of chapter, or the remaining Acts. It's about Paul and evangelism outreach, and yet it's not really about Paul. It's about the works of the Holy Spirit going on. And so we have these last 6 verses, really 7 if you include from Acts 15 and 35. We go there. And Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others the word of the Lord. And this sort of a summary verse, and it covers probably a winter, over winter, because it's a really hard time. It's difficult to travel in winter in that area. If they get in a boat, it's going to be a storm at sea, and they have that later. So they were preaching. They were teaching and preaching, building up the body, And what we see from this point on, in this little passage at the end of chapter 5, we see it's like a character study of two workers. And considering what time it is, okay, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. So that it's, if you don't hear anything else after this, I mean, at least you got what I'm going to be telling you. And it's this is, if it wasn't for these six verses, we would not see the real character of men. And it is the voice of the Spirit working out in two ways. Paul, Barnabas. Paul is a very, these were motivations planted in them, by the way, okay? So it's what the Holy Spirit has done inside of the person. Paul is a very large scale guy. His focus, his eyesight looks to the horizon. And he's always looking how far out. He has far vision, you know. He's farsighted in spiritual things. And he's the church planter. He will go into an area nobody's been in and he'll plant churches and move on and plant churches. He is a large-scale territory, has territory capacity, tremendous capacity. Barnabas, on the other hand, is a small scale. He ministers to the individual. That's his focus. That's what the Holy Spirit has planted in his heart to work with the individuals. And I've seen both kinds. We all have seen both kinds. Billy Graham was this large scale crusade kind of character. And then there are the other people who will sit for hours with an individual ministering one-on-one or bringing an individual along to help build up that person to make. This is what Barnabas was doing with John Mark. He was bringing him along, ministering to him. And it's because of Barnabas working patiently with John Mark to mature him through the Holy Spirit, we've got the book of Mark. We've got a lot. So this is the point. The Holy Spirit works in two ways. It either gives us a large vision for a grand scale that the body of Christ needs people like that who can go out, preach a crusade, stand on a corner, preach to lots of people. And he also needs people, the Holy Spirit deals in some people who will work one-on-one and have all kinds of patience working one-on-one, planting a seed someday with someone who talks to you, and you plant a seed. Maybe you don't even know you're doing it, but the Holy Spirit works through that way one-on-one. Now, it doesn't mean that Paul cannot be able to work one-on-one with people. In chapter 16, he chooses Timothy. But bear in mind, every incident, I don't know if I have time today, I'll go into this and say that it seemed like in reading these passages, and I see that this kind of gives an indication of how the Holy Spirit had so molded Paul that when he chose someone like Timothy to work with him, it was for the good of Timothy, but it was also that Timothy could be useful to ministry. So there was always in the foundation background of what Paul is doing, bringing people in and all the young men, putting them on his team to do this great work that needed to be fulfilled. Whereas in the other case, in Barnabas, The individual was the ministry. So the kingdom of the Lord is both. And we can see now Paul is this way, Barnabas is this way. It's interesting, I'll get into this in detail later, but Jesus was both. He was large scale, but he also had the capacity to both minister individually. The woman at the well, Zacchaeus, in the midst of a busy crowd, he could get one person and minister just to them. Example after example after example of in the midst of crowds that he was ministering to was an individual. How often did one get picked out to be ministered to? Well, anyway, he could do both. So anyway, so we have these verses in 35. They are teaching, they are preaching, they are proclaiming, and then something changes. And in the very early stages of me reading this, 6 months ago, don't get me wrong, I am delighted to have months to look at six verses, because in the early stages, I took this line of thought. You know, these two spirit-filled apostles, and they're both apostles, they get in a fight. And I say, well, why can't we, here I'm thinking the lesson to this is, why can't we just get along? You know, I also thought in reading this, these verses, Paul says, in verse 36, Acts 15:36, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city. And I'm thinking, okay, here's what's going on. This is the beginning of the second missionary journey. The first missionary journey, the Holy Spirit said in a worship service, set apart Saul and Barnabas for me, for the work that I've chosen for them. It was no question about it, in the multitude of prophets they had in Antioch. It was a word of prophecy, set these two apart, and I'm going to tell them what I want them to do. The beginning of the second missionary journey, Paul says, hey, I've got an idea. Let's go see how everybody's doing in the churches we say. I got a great idea. Well, this is where I was, five months ago thinking about, oh, that's a great idea. Well, and how many times have we gotten a good idea throughout church history? Got a great idea. Let's do this or let's do that. Or a great idea, coming out. But as time progressed and I had a change of view several times about this, that this is not, this argument they have is not a personality conflict. It's not a battle of right or wrong. How many times did I go through the argument? Well, Paul says, let's go on this mission field. And Barnabas says, here's the trigger. Barnabas says, let's take John Mark. And Paul says, no way. No, he abandoned us. We're not going to take him. Well, I'm going back and forth on this. And you come to the inevitable question, who's right? Paul is right. He abandoned him. I can't trust this young man. We just can't trust him. He's left us once. He'll do it again. Barnabas says, I've worked with him. I've talked to him. I've heard his heart. He needs to be on the mission field to grow and to see things in the Lord, the only place he can see it. And Paul says, no way. Now, that's great. That's a good thing, but we don't need him on this. Too important. So I was going back and forth, and one is right. They're both right. They're both right. But this was not a battle of right or wrong. It took a few weeks for me to get past it. It's not a battle of right and wrong. They're both right, yes. But even then, on that level, that's not the point. That isn't the point, that one is right and the other's wrong, or they're both right, or they're both wrong. Rather, it is a ministry conflict. I think it's a ministry conflict where two very Spirit-filled, strong leaders, ministers, one goes and one sees this, the other sees that. And you have to ask, where'd that come from? It's the voice of the Spirit in one and the voice of the Spirit in the other. So the Holy Spirit has planted in each of them the burden of their heart to minister in a certain way. And we thank the Lord that we have both kinds of people in the body of Christ, which is big enough. We need people who see the vision on the horizon and say, I can never get to the horizon, because as soon as I get to the horizon goes on. It goes on, and I've got to keep going. And that's how there are church plants all over the place, in different countries, and there are ministries that do that kind of thing. But there's also the kind of person who will sit in the corner after the meeting and minister to one person. I can picture, this is not in Scripture, but just work with me here. What if at the end, okay, Paul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey, they've been to all of these churches, they planted these churches, there's lots of words, preaching, they both preached, they both proclaimed, they both prophesied. There was no New Testament, so they used the Old Testament, and they ministered in the Spirit. And when Paul was done, he was done, he did his thing, he was done at the end of the evening. There's Barnabas. He's over in the corner. He's got one or two guys, and he's talking lowly to them. He's talking in a quiet voice. Paul wants to go. Barnabas is, come on, Barnabas. You done yet? You know? I remember in Russia, being in Russia, whenever we were, most places we were, Zhenya would take me around, and we would have an evening meeting somewhere, and there was always people who wanted to talk after it, and you don't know how long to stay or how, and there was this one time, and I've mentioned this before, it's a regret I have, that I had this drunk was insistent on taking full attention of me, asking me, firing questions at me, and over off to the side was a mother and a daughter that I had prayed for the previous year. The daughter had kidney trouble, and she was there, looked better, she looked good. I couldn't break away from the drunk to get to these people. So there's all kinds of dynamics that take place, and they eventually left, and I never got the chance to talk to them again, pray for her or whatever. It was, it's okay. It's in the Spirit, it's okay. Because heaven rules. Okay, so it's okay. Heaven rules. So, these two men were not what they were. Here's an important thing to remember. They were not what they were because of teaching, quote-unquote, or doctrine, quote, that one held this doctrine, another held that doctrine, and they were clashing with their teaching or their doctrine or their interpretation. They were what they were because of, you could put this in capital letters, life. They were what they were expressing life. And they just did it in different ways. So we thank the Lord that both were successful. Both were successful. And it's interesting in 1539, there arose such a sharp disagreement, a paroxysm. That's where we get the word paroxysm. It's Greek, paroxysm. They had a paroxysm, a sharp disagreement, that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away. No, he didn't. Yeah, he did do that, but it wasn't that abrupt stomping off. No, not at all, not at all. I thought that for a couple of weeks, it's okay, but months ago I realized it's just Luke turning his focus away from Barnabas to Paul. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And maybe Barnabas was too, or whatever, but Barnabas took Mark and went to Cyprus and continued ministering to John Mark, who later, from Barnabas, went to spend time with Peter, who referred to Mark as my son. And he spent time with the Apostle Peter up to a point of when Mark was fully discipled and raised up. He put down, maybe because of listening to Peter enough times, spending enough time with him. Mark wrote it all down, and we thank the Lord we've got the Gospel of Mark, the first gospel that was published. We've got the Gospel of Mark because of John Mark, because of Barnabas, and because of Paul. Hallelujah. It's because heaven rules. Heaven rules. Don't forget that. So Paul chose Silas, departed, being committed by the brethren of the grace of the Lord, and he was traveling through Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the churches. So, not a personality conflict at all. Not at all. And we have those personality conflicts now. May the Lord so work the Holy Spirit in all of us, and we listen to the voice of the Spirit, that, yeah, there may be conflicts, but they'll be because there's ministry directions that are different. But that's okay. All right. Well, so there's questions to settle. Now, you're going to have to wait 6 months for part two. And I want to delve a little deeper into the motivation of both of these brothers and how that motivation was planted in them and how it came out and what it looks like. So it is a result of heaven ruling. And we can look at the potter and the clay. We can look at our calling, our individual calling, and there's more to this. An incredible six verses. It is an incredible. Commentators fly over these six verses. Most commentators don't have anything to say, or they'll say, just look at the surface and say, yeah, Paul was right. Barnabas is wrong. They'll make that kind of judgment. I don't want to do that. I want to look at, under the surface, look at the ministry. What is coming? What is the Holy Spirit doing in these two brothers that make them what they are? He is the potter. We are the clay. That's what we've got to know. So part two, and sometime, whenever. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you are working in each one of us by the Holy Spirit in this New Testament age, this church age. We thank you. You've gathered us together that we can celebrate Christ together. We can be built up together in Christ, and we can be fed the bread of life. Hallelujah for that. Thank you, Lord, for moving in every one of our hearts. You are raising us up. You are bringing us into the kingdom. You are preparing us for the day we will see Christ. Because heaven rules. And we thank you for that. Lord, etch that into our hearts that Jesus is the sovereign King over all kings. And he's over our government. He is over our border. He is over all of this. And he has not lost any control over all of it. Lord, for his purpose, may you raise up, Lord, prophets, a prophet, any prophet, to speak, Lord, in these last days to clarify, Lord, but just speak your word in these last days that our understanding would be able to keep up with events, Lord, because heaven rules. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.